Did the Bengals defense do anything that surprised you at all?
No, I don't think so. You know, they, you know, every game there's wrinkles, you know, and so you try to anticipate what they might do. And, you know, they had some pressure stuff early, and then I think we, you know, we were able to handle it and continue to move the ball and make some plays. And, you know, and then obviously third quarter got out of hand a little bit.
Got out of hand a little bit. I'm James Erpine, and welcome into the Locked On Bengals podcast, coming to you from my home office with the Bengals. They got their head kicked in today at Paul Brown Stadium, 51-14. Coming up, you're going to hear from John Ross. You just heard from Drew Brees. I got to talk to Drew. And, hey, Drew, were you surprised by that Swiss cheese Bengals defense that they didn't have a game plan for you? No, not at all. They did exactly what we expected, and that's why we scored 51 at Paul Brown Stadium on the road. You can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcasts. It is so great to be with you. I wish it was on better circumstances, right? I mean, I don't think many people gave the Bengals a shot going into this game, but 51-14, they got their tail kicked in. I mean, they got their head kicked in and then kicked in some more and kicked in some more. Let's start with some team stats before we dive into interviews. I'm going to get to a lot of your voicemails today. I think on a day like today, well, we all know what's going on, and I want you guys to have a voice. I tweeted out during the game the Locked On Bengals hotline, which is 513-666-0328. I just looked at some of your voicemails. We will play them on the show today in a post-game edition of this Locked On Bengals podcast on a Sunday evening. Bengals fall to 5-4 on the year. Meanwhile, the Saints improve. They've won 8 straight and are now 8-1. And honestly, so they're 3 games back. If you look at it from that perspective, they're much more than that. There's a bigger gap between these two teams. Total first downs today. You ready for this? 33-13. The Saints had more rushing first downs than the Bengals had first downs. Think about that. They passed for as many first downs as the Bengals had first downs. And the Saints also had 2 first downs because of penalty. They were 7 of 12 on third down conversion. The Bengals were a whopping 0 for 6. On fourth down, the Bengals were 1 for 2. The Saints were 1 for 1. Look, it's just, it's one thing after another with this team. Here's what I'll say. I was wrong. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I was wrong. Remember when I said I was buying stock into the Bengals defense? Well, I bought at the wrong time because it's tanked. That stock has tanked since I bought stock. And it was low already, but now it's in the negative. Now the Bengals defense is going out of business, and I'm stuck with some worthless stock. I'm just holding it. I'm holding it, and it's bad. I should have sold. I shouldn't have bought. I should have ran away from it. I should have listened to those of you who talked about it. I just thought that this team could figure it out. The numbers are staggering, and I tweeted these out. Lance McAllister was the one who tweeted them out earlier today, and I retweeted him. Get this. From last year to this year, the difference defensively, they gave up 339 yards per game last year, 448 per game this year. Last year per play, 4.97 yards. This year, 6.8 yards per play. Points per game, 21.8 last season. This year, 29.6. Third down conversions, nearly 41% last year. This year, 56% of the time, opponents get a first down on third down. And today, it was honestly, the Saints just, they kept getting third and one, third and two, third and one, third and two. You're going to convert those. The Bengals defense couldn't do anything. The Saints scored 9 straight possessions. What? What? And that's why I asked that question of Drew Brees that you heard at the top of the podcast. I asked that because the answer is pretty simple. I wonder, did the Bengals do anything on their bye week? Did they do anything at all? Did the defensive coordinator, Terrell Austin, do anything? Someone turned to me in the middle of the game when it was starting to get out of hand, and he said, and I'm not going to say who it was, he said, why do the Bengals have a defensive coordinator? And normally I would shoot it down, and I would say, pump the brakes, and I would say, come on, you're trying to be funny. That's not funny. But why do they have a defensive coordinator? Think about it. A defensive coordinator is supposed to help stop the offense, help stop what's going on. And I just think it's everything. Someone asked me on Twitter, is it scheme? Is it players? Is it injuries? It's everything. It's talent. It's injuries. It's scheme. It's the way the NFL is today. The NFL today, and going into this game, and going into next Sunday's game, and going into the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that, and it's, what is it? We got Baltimore, and then the Browns. You're going to have to force turnovers. Did the Bengals ever even get close to forcing a turnover today? That's what this defense is. That's what they have to be. And that's fine. That can be successful, but you have to force them. You have to get pressure. You have to put the pressure on your opponent. Last I checked, and it was the whole time Drew Brees was in, there was two quarterback hurries. Two. Dos. That's it. It's insane. It's insane. 509 total yards of offense for the New Orleans Saints. 284 for the Cincinnati Bengals. 74 offensive plays to 43 offensive plays. Time of possession. Let me look at this here. Time of possession, 39 minutes, excuse me, and 46 seconds for the Saints. 20 minutes, 14 seconds for the Bengals. The Bengals have allowed 2,117 yards in their last four games. What? 2,117 yards in four games. They're coming off of a bye, and I get it. Drew Brees and that Saints offense, they're going to do that to a lot of people. And I'm not happy with the defense either. All right, I'm not happy with them, I'm not happy with them one damn bit, and I'll get to them in a second. But this defense, I wonder where the hell they went for the bye week, because they haven't come back yet. And maybe they should come back and show up for the first time this season, next Sunday, with the season, I'm not going to say riding on it, but by God, close. That's a huge game, and that ends Baltimore's season. If you beat Baltimore in Baltimore, they are not going to the playoffs. If you lose that game, they're right back in it, and they're ahead of you in the standings, potentially. So if you're the Bengals, you better find a damn way to clean it up. They had a whole extra week. Did nothing with it. Did absolutely nothing with it. It's insane to me. We'll get to your voicemails coming up in just a few minutes. I do want to get to this real quick. Let's take a quick break, and we'll get to your voicemails as well. Up next, we'll talk about the offense. Up next, we're going to discuss the good and bad, and there's more bad than good, obviously, when it's 51-14. And you're going to hear from John Ross, who talked with reporters after the game. We'll get a status check on his health. I talked to him before all the reporters gathered around as well. So we'll get to that and more as we roll on. I'm James Erpine, and I got to give you a quick shout out to MyBookie, because MyBookie, look, if you're betting on sports, you need to do it with MyBookie. It is awesome. They have the best mobile site in the industry. They have in-game betting. They have live betting. You could do over-unders on fantasy points. You could bet, let's say you wanted to make it interesting at halftime when the Bengals are already gotten their head kicked in. You could do it by going to MyBookie online and betting on the second half line. So you can do that. You can do so much there. NBA, Major League Baseball, obviously college football, NFL in one spot. It's MyBookie online. And right now, they're going to match your first deposit dollar for dollar. All you got to do is go to MyBookie online and type in promo code LOCKEDON25 with your first deposit. They're going to match it dollar for dollar. You're going to be able to make money on the games that you know. And if you, I tweeted this out today, I had the Saints by 10, which means they would have covered the 4.5-point spread. If you would have done that, then you would have won money. So you can do that. You can do it with MyBookie. So go there now. Use promo code LOCKEDON25. You play, you win, you get paid with MyBookie. Again, that's MyBookie, MyBookie. Promo code LOCKEDON25. The offense was awful. I'm going to come out and say it. The offense was bad, and we're going to focus on the defense, and they deserve to get destroyed all week. The offense was dreadful. It was atrocious. It was ridiculous. It was a bunch of words that, honestly, I don't even know if I want to say here. Here's what I'll tell you. Joe Mixon averaged 5.5 yards per carry, and somehow they forgot to get him the ball. Joe Mixon is your best offensive threat. And somehow they forgot to get him the ball. And I mean that. When A.J. Green is not on the field, Joe Mixon is the guy. He's the guy. No one else. Not John Ross, and I'm the John Ross guy. Not Tyler Boyd, and Tyler Boyd's having a great season, and I think he's a baller. No, 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 no. Joe. It's Joe. And more Joe, and more Joe, and more Joe. I'm sorry, but in a game like this, when Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara combine for 25 carries, 160 yards, and two touchdowns on the ground, you need to get Joe Mixon involved. You do. And I had a problem from the jump with this game. Why in the hell, if you're Marvin Lewis, why in the hell would you say, all right, we're going up against Drew Brees. We have a Swiss cheese defense. It is holier than thou on a Sunday. We're going to give up all the yards. Well, that's what we do on defense. Why would you defer? The game was already over by the time the Bengals got the ball to start the second half. Why in the hell would you defer? And I know that's not the plan. Oh, it's not the plan. So what? The Saints' opening drive was 15 plays, 75 yards, and it took nearly 10 minutes off the clock. I will confirm. Here, let me confirm that here. 8 minutes and 30 seconds off the clock. 15 plays. Multiple, I think 3 third down conversions. Are you out of your damn mind, Marv? Like, all of those little things matter. You got to take that into consideration. All right, well, our offense is probably going to have to win us this game if we're going to win. Our defense is going to have to force turnovers. You know what we should do? Try to take the lead to start, because if not, it could get ugly. We're without our best player. We need to get our offense in a rhythm. Let's get it in a rhythm from the jump. And they didn't. It was tied, which is crazy how quickly this game changed. It was tied 7-7 with 1:56 to go in the first quarter. It was 35-7 at half. I mean, woo! What a difference here. Look, I think Andy Dalton was below average today. 12 of 20, 60% completions, a buck 53, sacked 4 times, had a touchdown, 2 picks. Both picks, I think, one on him, the other just, it's batted. So maybe he telegraphed it. But the one where he throws it into double coverage to Ross, I don't know what the hell he was thinking. Because if you throw that ball, and I'm fine with the throw, but if you throw it, you can't leave it short. If you're throwing a deep ball, throw it. Either throw it into the back of the end zone, because it was right before halftime. It cost the Bengals 7 points. It would have been a 10-point swing. Throw it to the back of the end zone. That way either Ross catches it, or it falls incomplete, or it goes out of the back of the end zone. You know, that's what you do if you're going to take that shot. Instead, he left it short. Ross had a step, but I don't know if he hauls it in. And then it gets intercepted, returned, and Michael Thomas has a touchdown right after that. And that was it. That was the knockout blow. It was 28-7, quickly became 35-7. Quickly. This offense was awful today. They got the ball down 21-7. And I'm just going, I didn't write anything down. I just know the critical point. Like, this is when the game's over. And a lot of people are going to point to, well, when you had the false start, 4th and 6, down 14-7, it was over. And I don't think that was the case. It was over when it was 21-7. Bengals are set to receive, 5:34 to go in the first half. And I tweeted this out. You have to, if you're the Bengals, take the ball, march downfield, use up all of the clock, leave no time for Drew Brees, and make this 21-14. You do that, you go into the half, you come out, you receive the ball at the start of the second half, you go score, you tie the game up. Then you're right back in it. That is how you got to view it. And that's just part of the NFL today. That's part of it when you have the defense you have for this Bengals team. And that's part, honestly, it's par for the course when you're going up against a quarterback like Drew Brees. That's how you do it. And they couldn't. Go 3 and out. Andy gets sacked. New Orleans goes down and scores. Then the Bengals still have a minute plus to go. They go try to get points. Don't, because Andy throws a dumb ball. And then boom, 7 more. And just like that, 21-7 with 5:30 to go is 35-7 at halftime. Game over. It was that quick. And speaking of quick, John Ross, Mr. Quick, had 2 receptions today. 39 yards. Was second on the team in receptions. Tied with Giovanni Bernard and Joe Mixon. Tyler Boyd had 3 receptions for 65 yards. CJ Uzama had 3 receptions for 23 yards. Here's John Ross with reporters after the game. And I will talk about Ross on the other side of this. But here's Ross, who finished with 2 receptions, 39 yards, and a touchdown, his 3rd of the season. He talked with reporters after the game.
You know, we just got to get back and watch the film, and then, you know, we'll have some answers after that. You know, it's hard for me to just sit here and point a finger and say, you know, what was wrong. We all know we didn't play our best game, and, you know, it's something we need to come in tomorrow and correct and move forward.
You had to feel good after the first drive and think, okay, we can run with these guys. How did the mentality change as the team, especially when you go into half down 35-7?
I mean, well, we knew from, you know, from the start of the game, we can run with anybody. We have offense, you know, with or without, you know, everybody. We have a lot of talented guys who can go out and play, you know. We just got to be consistent, and everybody got to do their job and do it to the best ability.
What's it like for the offense when, you know, we want to get back out there and try to keep up with these guys, and Breeze is just converting over and over again? A chance, the first time you've had to face him in the league, what's it like to look at him and see him keep the ball away from you guys?
I mean, what's more about us? You know, that's kind of what we talk about. You know, so we see that, we get excited because we get another opportunity to go out there and, you know, make the game even more special than it already is. You know, so, you know, we want to go out there and put just as many points on the board as they did, or, I mean, of course more, but, you know, we want to do the same thing.
How did you feel physically?
Good. I mean, I felt real good out there. You know, first time in a long time where, you know, I got a chance to do a little more, so felt real good.
John, was anything tweaked on that final catch, or was that nothing at all?
Nothing really. Probably just fatigue, you know, okay. Just a lot of fatigue. I mean, it was going, and no huddle, so, you know, just real tired.
You expected that next week?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
For you as a competitor, John, to look up at the scoreboard, I mean, any athlete, right, and see 51-14, is that embarrassing for you? How hard is that to take?
It's tough. It's real tough. It's real tough. I think you can tell when we fight hard all week long. Nobody like losing, you know. A lot of us don't like losing at all, you know. So it's just real tough, you know, to see that, and it's just something we got to go out there and, you know, continue to fix and move forward from.
Mentally, winning one game in the last 4, how do you make sure that things don't backslide with this team?
We keep fighting. We still got a fighting chance, and a lot of things can change. This is the league that we're playing, you know, and I think everyone understands that. You can start off great and, you know, slow down, or you can start slow and, you know, speed up, you know. So it's a lot of things that can be changed.
I know the offense didn't have a ton of chance today based on where the game went. Do you still have a lot of confidence in what this offense can do?
Of course. I mean, we just like the first drive, you can tell we have a lot of people who can do a lot of things. We got guys who can make so many plays, and, you know, we don't have AJ, you know. So, you know, imagine everyone, you know, we got Gio back, Joe's being Joe, and, you know, Tyler Boyd's doing his good thing, and just imagine everyone else back, you know. So there's no confidence lost in our offense, and I think, you know, like I said, we move forward from here, and a lot of guys are going to come back, and we're going to continue to make plays.
The first drive, you didn't get the third down. I mean, first and second down, you score a touchdown on 8 plays. But then during the game, went 0-for-6 on third down. So those third down conversions, or lack of converting on those third downs, was big, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course. That's on us. We know that. And as we know, we got to be better from that. And, you know, all we can do is move forward and figure it out and continue to fight and, you know, put an emphasis on things like that. So I know we will for sure.
It's a tough loss. Tough loss for the Bengals. Tough loss. Here's what I'll say about John Ross. He told me he's fine. And I know a lot of athletes say that. I think, did he tweak his groin? Maybe a little bit. Sure. Easy to do once you pull it. That's what's tough with those. That's not a Ross thing. That's a human thing. Here's what I'll say. I think he's going to play next week. I think he's fine. And I think today was a good day. I don't have the snap counts in front of me. But it looked like to me, this is the type of stuff that you can build on for Ross. He's got 3 touchdowns on the season, had 2 receptions today, 6 targets. A couple of the targets, though, it's not like he didn't have any drops, by the way. Everyone tells me how he drops the ball. I don't know. I don't know why people view him the way they do, why it feels like there's this weird elephant in the room when it comes to number 15. When he's gotten in there this season, outside of the one play in Carolina, it's been about right. You know, he has 1 drop that I remember, and it's in Baltimore. Today, he was fine. I mean, the route for the touchdown made a lot of sense. It was a good route. It was a good play. The route with Jeff Driskel, where he found him for the 37-yard catch, that's a touchdown if Driskel hits him in stride. I mean, I don't know. I look at him, and I think, okay, he's building on that. That's his 9th NFL game, and he looked like he could be that guy. He looked like he could be one of the guys. You know, it really. Now, here's what I'm concerned about. If you don't have AJ Green next week, and I don't expect him back this week, there's a report that Schefter, which if you listen to Locked On Bengals, I would have told you I expect him out for a month. Adam Schefter said Green might not be back until December, which is expected based on what I've heard. That said, I've also talked to people that said, yeah, AJ, he's chomping at the bit. He's going to try to go next week. I think that's way too soon. I don't think that happens. And assuming you're without him, you got to find a way to get Ross or Boyd moved. I mean, those are your guys. Those are the receivers. I know people loved Auden Tate and all that, and Cody Core is going to be out there, and so is Alex Erickson. It's ride Joe Mixon, ride Joe Mixon, ride Joe Mixon. And if I'm Baltimore, I'm doing everything I can to take away the run game next week. And then if you're the Bengals, okay, let's have a plan in place where we can get Ross and or Boyd and Boyd, honestly, not or. Ross and Boyd open in a position to have success. There was a screen pass that I loved. Quick bubble screen to Tyler Boyd that went for 36 yards, excuse me. And I loved it. It was perfect. Can Ross get one of those? Not that I don't like Boyd, and not that Boyd shouldn't get him. Of course he should. I mean, he's your playmaker at wide receiver. He's the guy right now. He's established. He came into this game on pace for 98 receptions. Totally get it. But can Ross get one once in a while? I think that there's plenty he can build on from this game. I know people think he tweaked his groin and he's going to be out a bunch of times and all that stuff. Based on how I talked to him, based on everything, I think he's going to be just fine. So we continue to roll on a post-game edition of the Locked On Bengals podcast. The offense was awful. They were awful. I'll have more on them later this week. They were just bad. I'm not going to harp on it because there's plenty of time to discuss. But what was good about the offense today? After the first drive, they were awful. And the defense didn't show up at all. I don't know what this team expected going into this game. I don't think they expected to lose like this. And from a defensive game plan standpoint, what was the plan? I know that the goal was, all right, let's put Brandon Wilson in there, and we're going to play with three safeties and hopefully try to take Alvin Kamara away. But when they started to run it up the gut with Mark Ingram, and you had one less linebacker out there, what was the counterpunch, right? On offense, when you got stopped once or twice, what was the counterpunch? What were you going to bring out? What were you going to show? I didn't see the manufactured touches that I needed to see with 5:34 to go. That's the drive. Ball game on the line, 5:34 to go in the first half. Show me something, Bill Lazor. Show me something, Andy Dalton. And I didn't see anything. That's the drive. And so it'll be interesting to see how they adjust and what they do this week in preparation for Baltimore, which they can get back on track. Let's get your reaction next. We'll get to the hotline. We'll get to your voicemails. I'll react to them as we roll on. I'm James Erpine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. The Locked On Bengals podcast rolls on. Let's get to your voicemails on the Bengals hotline. You can leave one at 513-666-0328. You can also follow me on Twitter. Tweet me. Give me your thoughts there. DMs are open at James Erpine at Locked On Bengals. You can also reach me via email, jameserpine@espn1530.com. Let's dive into these voicemails. Let's go to Dallas, Joe in Dallas, and he's going to be surprised at the observation I have from his voicemail. Here's Joe.
I didn't even get to watch today's game. My boss is a Steelers fan, gets me every Sunday at noon, which is when the games kick off here. But it's just depressing. I'm so sick and tired of every goddamn game where we look like we have any chances, showing people, hey, we're a good team. We lose by God knows what. It's 38-42, God knows what right now, to 7. I mean, Andy Dalton was an embarrassment, as always, when A.J. Green's gone. Marvin Lewis looks like makes us look like the laughing stock of the NFL. I mean, honestly, I'm envious of the Browns because guess what? They at least get a new quarterback every 3 years and a little bit of hope. You know, it's just depressing. I'm sick of Dalton. I'm sick of everyone on this team. I'm sick of Terrell Austin just not knowing how to coach defense and maybe being the worst defensive coordinator in the NFL. He shouldn't have a job. I could do a better job. Ugh. This is just depressing. I don't know. Fire all the coaches. Burn it all down. Start anew. I don't know. Can't wait to go 9-7 and lose in the wild card round. Hooday, I guess.
That's Joe in Dallas. Hooday, I guess. Here's the thing that I have there. And obviously, you know, fire all the coaches and stuff. And look, I will comment on that in just a second. If your boss is a Steelers fan, how petty does your boss have to be to schedule you every Sunday at noon? Noon is when they play Texas time. Usually it's 1 p.m. Eastern, so it's 1 hour behind. Oh, my God. Man, Joe, you got to get a new boss, man. You better find some new work. Yeah, you call in, and I get you can't watch, and I get you're frustrated. You just see, but you don't even know what the hell happened. No, in all seriousness, though, I get your frustration. A lot of fans who did watch feel the way you do. And I think that, I mean, they probably should look at removing someone. Are you, and not that they will, but are you telling me after a bye week, Terrell Austin's defense should have given up 500 plus yards? And here's the dynamic I think is interesting. Marvin Lewis is a defensive guy. How much input does he have on Terrell Austin's defense? He might have all of it. We don't know. So Terrell Austin's taking the heat. Is Marvin Lewis in that defensive room getting in the way? Is Marvin Lewis in the room saying, oh, we should do this or we should do that? Now, I get it. Marvin was a great defensive coordinator. No doubt about it. But I'm just curious what the balance is. All right? Is it all Terrell? Is it 50-50? Is it 75 Marvin, 25 Terrell? I think that's a very interesting thing no one's really talking about. And something that we probably won't get the answer to, but something worth monitoring. Because let's be honest, if Terrell Austin only has 50% of the input and Marvin's got a lot his hands on the defense, and I assume he would at this point with how bad they are, and they remain that bad, how much does Terrell Austin deserve? How much blame? With all the injuries, if Marvin has a big hand in it as well. So I don't know. I think that I don't know if this defense can be fixed, though. I don't know if there is a fix. I don't think it's just getting healthy because by the time you get healthy, the season's going to go one way or the other. So they need to figure it out now, and they certainly haven't figured it out yet. Let's continue. Let's go to the Locked On Bengals hotline. More voicemails.
Hey, this is James from Amelia. Watching this ridiculous Bengals game. Bengals of right now gave up 51 points. And I realize next game against Baltimore is way more important than this, and everyone figured, oh, yeah, Bengals will lose against the Saints. But say the Bengals beat the Ravens, and they go on a little bit of a hot streak to sneak into the playoffs. What's the point of them making the playoffs if they're just most likely going to lose in the playoffs, first round? This team has zero defense. It's just when you're in the playoffs, you have to play tough teams every week. And every time the Bengals play a tough team this year, they lose. They choked against the Steelers. They got their butt kicked against the Chiefs. And this week, I mean, it's probably worse than the Kansas City game. So I don't know how this team can realistically make the playoffs and win and go on a little run. They may make the playoffs and lose in week, 18, because that's technically what it would be. But it's ridiculous.
James, I appreciate the call. I think a lot of fans are with you. I think a lot of fans view the Bengals like, what's the point? What's the point? If we know how this ends, why would I put myself in this position again? Why would I buy in? Why would I fully invest? And I think that's been the case all season long. I do. I don't think you're alone. I think you're one of the majority who view this team as a average, slightly above average team that might be good enough to sneak into the playoffs and then lose week one, round one of the playoffs. I don't think you're alone at all. I don't think you should feel bad about that. Here's what I will say. They still have some winnable games. I mean, it's crazy to think that this team's 5-4, right? They still have two games against Cleveland, who did look good today. They have a game against Denver at home. They have a game against Oakland at home. And they go to Baltimore. All of which I think are winnable games if you have AJ Green. You should win four of those if you have AJ Green. The problem is I think the next 2 weeks they're going to be without number 18. And that's going to make it very, very tough. Let's continue to get your voicemails. I want to hear from you. And this is voicemail heavy. Let's get another one.
James, this is Daryl from Atlanta, I've been texting you, and I'm in Cincinnati today. This is an embarrassment. I know the Bengals won't do anything, but if they were any respectable organization, somebody would be biting the dust. I don't know. I feel like it should be maybe Marvin or Terrell Austin. I mean, I'm not even impressed with Bill Lazor because he doesn't use Joe Mixon. I mean, he forgets about him, and he was having a good game. So this organization is a dumpster fire. They won 5 games. They're 5-4 now. They may win another game or two, but they're not for real. The longevity of this organization is awful, and they don't deserve any fan support as far as I'm concerned. And if I can tell any fans out there, don't buy any their tickets, don't buy their product.
I'm not going to tell anyone what to buy, what not to buy. I appreciate the call, and I appreciate the voicemail. Here's what I'll say. I get the frustration. I do. I get the frustration in this team, really, at 3-1, and then they got the 4-1, really had an opportunity to win this fan base over. And since then, they're 1-3. Their one win felt like a loss. They've gotten their head kicked in twice, 2 blowouts, and the other loss was to the Steelers last second at home. I mean, it's really hard to lose 51-14 at home. 51-14. 5-1-1. It's very hard. So, look, morale's going to be low. There aren't many wins that are going to win this fan base over anymore. There really aren't. The last one that I think really could do it would be on the road at Pittsburgh week 17. If that's the game that would give you a division championship, or if that's the game that would vault you to the playoffs. Unfortunately, it might be too little too late. This Bengals team has to realize, and this is why, now you guys realize why I was so pissed off at the trade deadline when they didn't go get someone. You don't go get offense and then you score 7 points. The defense is not getting better. The defense is going to be a negative. It's going to be a weakness. You can't count on it. Even when they force turnovers, you can't count on those. So what you need is one of the best offenses in the game. That means high efficiency, up tempo, go get points, go get more, go get more, go get more, go get more. And right now they don't have the weapons to do so. Now, when I was saying that, they still had number 18 and they were going to get 1-5 and they were going to have Joe Mixon and Giovanni Bernard. And I still wanted someone else. Now 18 isn't there and they didn't go out and get anyone. So imagine that. Imagine how bad it is. That's a problem. And Ross had a pretty good game. I think Boyd was okay. Those aren't the guys. Like, that's what we found out today. Tyler Boyd isn't that dude, all right? And Andy Dalton isn't that dude without A.J. Green. And I never want to hear that he is. I never want to hear that. Don't tell me it. Don't tell me it. Don't tell me it. Andy Dalton needs A.J. Green, not the other way around. Again, Andy Dalton needs A.J. Green, not the other way around. Period. This, to me, it's crazy. What the one bright spot I'd say is I thought John Ross looked pretty good. I did. I think he looked pretty good. I'm going to go back and you know, I'll talk to Joe Goodberry. He's going to hopefully join me on the podcast tomorrow. We'll try to figure that out and go from there. But overall, this offense, they need to find a way. 28 is your man. After that, it's 1-5 and 8-3 and 8-3 and 1-5. Until 18 comes back, that's it. It's Ross, Boyd, Mixon, and Gio. And Gio wasn't 100% today. It was one of those where they had a couple packages for him. I expect him to be 100% next week or close to it, so where they can unleash him. You need them out on the field together. You need them out on the field together making plays. And we'll go from there. I'm James Rapine. This is the Locked On Bengals podcast. That's going to do it for me today. Back at it tomorrow with Joe Goodberry. A reminder, please follow me on Twitter at James Rapine, at Locked On Bengals. Subscribe, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, the iHeartRadio app, and wherever you get your podcasts. It's a big week. It's a big week. We're going into this Ravens game, and as a Bengals fan, I think if they drop to 5-5, a lot of you are going to be pressing panic, and rightfully so. You can't just bank on, oh, well, the schedule's easier. Oh, those are winnable games. It's going to be hard to beat Cleveland twice. It is. So beating Baltimore, it will go a long ways, especially, I mean, they're going to have Lamar Jackson, it sounds like. We'll have someone on from Baltimore who covers the Ravens later this week to discuss that and more. I'm James Erpine. Thank you so much for listening today. Back at it tomorrow with Joe Goodberry of The Athletic. Until then, thank you so much for listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast.